Here are your WGXC headlines for Friday, February 18th. Special grand jury investigating efforts by then-President Donald Trump and his allies to overturn his 2020 election loss in Georgia says Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis should, quote, seek appropriate indictments for such crimes where the evidence is compelling, unquote, according to portions of the special grand jury's final report that were released on February 16th. The grand jury also believes, quote, one or more witnesses, unquote, committed perjury and urged local prosecutors to bring charges. On February 16th, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat who was elected to the Senate after a bruising campaign during which he suffered a stroke, checked himself into a hospital for clinical depression. A statement from Fetterman's staff said he had experienced depression on and off in his life, but it had only become severe in recent weeks. U.S. safety regulators pressured Tesla into recalling nearly 363,000 vehicles with its full self-driving system because it can misbehave around intersections and doesn't always follow speed limits. 19 people have died in Tesla crashes that investigators suspect were using automated systems. The city of Troy is proposing raising water rates to pay for the removal of dangerous lead pipes. The Harold Handy beating case was back in open court February 16th for the first time since its trial was abruptly adjourned in November in front of a different judge. The Kinderhook man was beaten by local law enforcement officials at a party, and then those law enforcement officials allegedly slowed his medical treatment and his investigation into the incident. And the city of Hudson will sell two properties at a combined starting price of about $1.5 million, the Common Council said on February 13th.
Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on day three of our winter pledge drive. It's called Please Assist Us in Transmission. We're asking for your help on the air with financial support at WGXC.org/donate or 518-697-7400, or with other kinds of support. We'd like you to do a radio show or contribute to a radio show, do a segment, help interview local folks on the air on the WGXC afternoon show or the WGXC morning show. We are looking for your help to please assist us in transmission this pledge drive, and you can do that financially at WGXC.org/donate, or you can write to info@WGXC.org and get involved. And get involved in a station that plays interviews like the one this morning. We'll hear from Karen Schomer about a possible development in Philmont that doesn't sound so good to her. We'll hear that story about a Philmont housing development that's not affordable this hour on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we'll hear the Catskill Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and we'll hear national headlines from the Public News Service. It's all on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. It starts after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song. Then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Yes, we would like to thank the folks who have donated to the WGXC Winter Pledge Drive at 518-697-7400 or by going online to wgxc.org/donate. The following folks have made an investment in their local media landscape. They've helped make sure that local voices from teenagers to senior citizens can stay on the one slot on the airwaves, 90.7 FM, that is open to the public. We want to thank Amanda in Lanesville for making a donation to WGXC.org/donate. We want to thank Pam in Claverick for calling 518-697-7400 and investing in your community radio station. William in Toronto, thank you for pledging to WGXC's Winter Pledge Drive. Patrick Quinn in Queens donated to the WGXC Winter Pledge Drive. And Ken in Stone Ridge is another person we'd like to thank for making a donation to WGXC's Winter Pledge Drive at wgxc.org/donate. These people realize the immense power and usefulness of community radio, and we hope you do too by going to wgxc.org/donate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alaysia, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Agro with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, February 17th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Raga Justin reports in the Times Union that three of the state's largest human services agencies, the Office of Mental Health, the Office of Addiction Services and Supports, and the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities, are facing a workforce shortage. This comes at a time when their services are in demand. Governor Kathy Hochul's budget proposal includes a 2.5% cost of living adjustment for those workers to lure new employees and retain veterans. Carrie Nightfield, who heads the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities, said that a 5.4% cost of living adjustment for state workers included in last year's budget have helped recent retention rates stabilize. But Assemblywoman Eileen Gunther, an Orange County Democrat, said the proposed 2.5% cost of living adjustment this year is, quote, absolutely an insult, unquote. She wants an 8.5% cost of living adjustment. State Senator Samra Brock, a Monroe County Democrat who has worked in the nonprofit sector, has this legislative session has a bill that would tie cost of living adjustments to inflation automatically. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Noah Zweifel reports for the Altamont Enterprise that the Hilltowns Community Resource Center has moved a few doors away from its previous location at the Westerloo Reformed Church on Route 143. The business Hanny Reels donated the property to the Hilltown Community Resource Center. Hanny Reels Chief Operating Officer Elaine Gruner said that the company, quote, has long supported the mission, unquote, of the Resource Center, quote, as they do great things for people often located too far from other resources in the Capital District, unquote. Jen Hyde, the executive director of Catholic Charities, which oversees the Resource Center, said, quote, we have private space where a person could meet for things like supplemental nutritional assistance program enrollment or a private one-to-one meeting with a practitioner or maybe health insurance enrollment, unquote. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise. News 10 in Albany reports that the Columbia County Sheriff's Office is warning residents about a scam involving dump trucks and pickup trucks with loads of stone. The Sheriff's Office says male suspects operating dump trucks and pickup trucks park on the town or county roads and flag down residents and try to offload the stone, sometimes with the initial promise of no cost. Sometimes they pull into residents' driveways and then first offer the stone for free before asking for some sort of payment. Homeowners are then given a very large bill, which police say they sometimes feel pressured or obligated to pay. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office says residents should report any incidents like this at 518-828-3344. Read more about this story at the News 10 website. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Friday, February 17th. Local early morning temperatures range from 42 degrees in Medusa to 54 almost everywhere else, including Tannersville, Copaic, and Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 41 degrees. Rain is coming, due to peak around 10 a.m., then fall off by dark. Mercury hits a high note of 55 at about the same time 10 a.m., then slides downward steadily through the afternoon, hitting 33 by dark, making afternoon travel potentially hazardous, especially in the elevated areas. After dark, wind gusts blow away the last of the rain, but shouldn't get strong enough to knock out power. A low temperature of 20 degrees ushers in a cold but dry and mostly sunny Saturday with a high of 43. Overnight, building clouds keep the temperature from dipping lower than 25 degrees. Nah, it is still February. Sunday, cloudy, breezy with a high of 47. Monday, looking warmer, hitting 51 degrees, but might have some afternoon sprinkles. Sunset today will be at 5:15 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:45 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances have dropped to 1%, and the incoming CME is due to arrive at 1 p.m. local time. But that is just it, stepping through the door. G1 class storms are expected upon arrival and will intensify to G2 class storms overnight into tomorrow, making auroras still possible for our area. Follow along this weekend at the Space Weather Prediction Center from NOAA. Just make it an initialism, swpc.noaa.gov, or just do a search for, again, the Space Weather Prediction Center from NOAA. Solar wind speed is currently 492.2 kilometers per second at 6.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad and not expected to get any better overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4.6, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 101. And if you like what you hear or think you have something to contribute, whether it's money, insight, or talent, head on over to WGXE.org and share something with your neighbors.
We'll be right back. Today we are in the midst of the Transmission Winter Pledge Drive. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation, or even better, please become a sustaining member today. Even just a few dollars a month, that adds up a lot over time.
Give up your pizza for one night. Don't feed the kids. Just let them starve for one night. It's good for them, actually.
Studies do show that.
No candies. I don't know where I get kidneys from. No candy for one night. You know, donate to us and do us a favor and keep this fantastic radio station firing in all cylinders.
This drive is significant. Sustaining members are really, really an important part. And of course, a single donation is more than welcome. If you could spare $5, $10, $20, but $5 a month, $10 a month over time, whether it's $5 becoming $60 over the course of a year or $10 becoming $120, that is just such a tremendous help to the station. And it's, you know, please remember that WGXC is a creative community radio station. It's based in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. It's local. It's hands-on access and participation. It's a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. And it's a great way to listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway in the car. Catch it on the radio on your way to work. Or you can stream us
That's
through,
if your transmission is working, Mike.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Now, we are looking to secure additional sustaining supporters towards the ultimate goal of $5,000 in monthly contributions, which will allow us to end traditional pledge drives. That goal is within our grasp. If we can add a total of 1,250 in monthly donations during this drive, we are almost there. That's exciting, Mike.
It's very exciting. And that being said, Andy, I think we've come to the end.
We have indeed.
It's been a great conversation.
Absolutely. As ever, Mike, fantastic. Enjoy doing. I actually really enjoy doing the pitches because it gives me and you a chance just to hang out together.
That's right.
So,
just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
So, yeah. So, listen, everybody, thank you very much for listening. Us talking the way we do, just inane nonsense, but with a serious note along with it. If you can donate, a sustaining donation would be fantastic. But in reality, anything you can give is good enough. So thank you for that ahead of time. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Across every single industry and every single community, working people are certainly the heart and soul of our nation. And when the workers stand united, nothing can stop us.
Labor Secretary Marty Walsh has long been a champion of the American union worker. He'll return to his union roots next month to lead the National Hockey League Players Association. Walsh was charged with helping President Joe Biden create the most pro-union presidency in history by frequently meeting with unions, including striking workers, and played a key role in helping avert a national rail strike last year. A January 2021 phone call between then-President Donald Trump and election officials in Georgia encouraging them to find votes set off a two-year investigation.
So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
Now a special grand jury convened in the investigation says one or more witnesses may have committed perjury and encourages local prosecutors to seek indictments. Key details on who may have lied were not revealed in the grand jury's report, although Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, Senator Lindsey Graham, and Georgia's top election officials did testify. California Attorney General Rob Bonta and other Democratic state attorneys general are urging CVS and Walgreens to continue with plans to offer abortion medications in retail pharmacies despite threats of legal retaliation from GOP-led states.
The Dobbs decision left millions of Americans defenseless against an onslaught of draconian state and federal regulations.
20 Republican state attorneys general have warned the retail pharmacies that plans to distribute abortion pills through the mail are both unsafe and illegal. President Biden has signed an executive order mandating the federal government do more to address racial inequality.
We have an obligation to make sure all people are safe. Public safety depends on public trust, as all of us know. But too often that trust is violated.
At his recent State of the Union address, Biden welcomed the parents of Tyree Nichols, the black man killed by five police officers in Memphis last month. Biden says agencies will now conduct annual reviews of their equity action plans and work to better engage with communities facing systemic racism.
As we act, let us not become the evil that we deplore.
Congresswoman Barbara Lee stood alone in casting a vote against giving then-President George W. Bush a blank check to wage war following the 9/11 attacks. Now Lee joins a growing field of politicians hoping to replace California Senator Dianne Feinstein when she retires in 2024. Lee says the Senate is sorely lacking the presence of people of color, black women in particular. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We told you recently how the retirement of an Ohio Supreme Court justice will likely change the court's anti-gerrymandering majority. We have updates on her replacement, a wild card in the legislature, and a possible citizen initiative to straighten out the mess. In 2018, Ohio voters approved Constitutional Amendment Issue 1 by nearly a 75% vote. One provision reads, end the partisan process for drawing congressional districts and replace it with a process with the goals of promoting bipartisanship, keeping local communities together, and having district boundaries that are more compact, unquote. Ohio's 2020 redistricting maps were rejected by the High Court on the basis of Issue 1, after both a redistricting commission and the legislature ignored it and submitted numerous gerrymandered maps. New maps were ordered before the 2024 election. To replace former Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, Governor Mike DeWine nominated friend and conservative Hamilton County prosecutor Joe Dieters. Observers are not optimistic Dieters or the rest of the court will defend fair maps. But a wild card has emerged in the Ohio House. A surprise maneuver by Democrats elected moderate Republican Jason Stevens as Speaker of the House over a more extreme candidate. Advocates are hopeful Stevens will be an ally for fair maps. The Ohio Capital Journal reports that discussions are underway on a future citizen ballot initiative to finally get Ohio its fair maps. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next up, WGXC's Celia Graham and Tom DiPietro interview Philmont's Karen Schomer about a proposed housing project there that's not affordable and that she opposes.
We have a special guest today.
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
First and foremost, former programmer.
That's Karen right. Schomer. A founding programmer.
I love foundings.
And was foundlings. Your first show, the Schomer Show, or the one you did with your daughter?
The Schomer Show was part of the launch of WGXC.
What was the Schomer Show?
It was a music show Wednesdays from 12 to 2.
Okay.
Yep. So it's going to run
Karen
the world.
Had a long career as a rock journalist all over the place. New York Times, Newsweek, you name it.
Well, we have to talk about
thing.
The development
yeah.
that I'm fighting.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We will. That's right. This is a very important one.
Karen, before we get to it, two more credentials. One is she's now a poet, but also the... A performer with a band called Sky Furrows. Karen is here. There's something afoot in Philmont.
Do you live in Philmont?
I do. I live in Philmont.
How long have you lived in Philmont?
I've lived in Philmont since the fall of 2021, and it's my fifth town in Columbia County. So, like, I run into people, and they're like, where do you live now? And I'm like, I know. So I lived in Niverville, Kinderhook, Hudson, Copaic, and then since the fall of 2021, I've been in Philmont.
What brought you to Philmont?
Well, I lost my housing, actually. I was renting in Copaic.
A real tale.
And I lost my housing, and I had a housing emergency, and I had friends with space in Fomont that they let me.
Nice.
Super lucky.
You were here in Hudson before that, or
and no Copaig?
Copaig, and then Hudson before that.
Okay,
no Greenport, huh?
Never been lucky in Greenport, but I'm not done. I mean, although
there's 19 towns, so you can spread it out a bit.
I've got a ways to go, but there should be some kind of like tiered award. I think like 5 is probably in the top.
You know why she knows there's 19?
No,
because it's called Roland Grosser 19.
Oh.
19 towns. Not the congressional district, but the 19 towns of Columbia County.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, so there's something going on in Philmont.
Okay, yeah.
There is a developer.
Yes.
Who bought a lot of property. How many acres?
22 acres. It's a 22-acre parcel of land. So first of all, like, y'all know that there's a lake right in downtown Philmont.
A lake? There's a little bridge
Summit
there.
Summit Lake.
Yeah.
Okay, so like within like 5 minutes of Main Street, you can walk and you're on this beautiful lake.
Right.
And it's called Summit Lake, and it's from when the industrial founders of Philmont, they dammed the Agawamuc Creek and they built all these underground canals and they got all this water power, and that's how Philmont grew up as a town. So the Summit Lake has been there since like the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And there's like a beautiful kind of view shed. Like one side of the lake is like a little road that you can walk along, and there's like bald eagles all the time and like kingfishers and ducks and swans, and it's the sunset goes down and it's really beautiful. It's a very beautiful natural spot. And but a developer bought a 22-acre, basically like the hillside that you see when you walk by the lake.
And it's all on the
lake. Who sold it?
This piece of land, that's a really good question. This piece of land, there's been attempts to develop it going back decades, and they've fallen through, and there's been community opposition repeatedly. The previous developer, now I'm not an authority on this, but my understanding is that it was around the financial crash in 2007. And
is that you?
That's us. Yes, mm-hmm. Summit Lake Conservation
Just found them
Group.
On IG, folks. Summit Lake Conservation Group, LLC. And I would suggest you get in the know. They've got a bunch of pictures so far, and they've got a lot of transparency, which, as you know, we love.
And our fundraiser, so we're called The Lake Needs a Lawyer. That's the name of our fundraiser, because we felt like we needed to step up. So in building this development, they're going to like cut down many of the trees. They're not really telling us exactly what it's going to look like when it's done.
Pause.
They're going to put a road in.
You said
they're
trees, right?
Yeah.
I went through Philmont last 2 months ago, training some new staff. Mm-hmm. And we drove through the infamous Fish and Game Road.
Yes.
Which is also County Route 18, which cuts right and brings your shortcut through Mellonville, which again leads to Philmont.
Yep.
On the drive, the person I was driving with is also a nature lover. Mm-hmm. He and I both were aghast. I almost came off the road.
Something's going on over there.
I said, what is this?
They've dug it up like crazy.
Widen the road.
This is obscene. First of all, it's country.
They're doing it by eminent domain. That's not even.
I know, because I saw the people's faces that live where this is happening. Right?
Really? They were outside their house?
There were just a few, and they were just looking, and you could see the dismay and the disgust and the powerlessness, right? And I said to myself, this is like a murder. This feels like a murder, like I'm watching a murder, a real live legal murder. Continue, sorry.
I mean, for those of us, so the last important piece from our point of view is that there's a trail that goes from the Summit Heights neighborhood. So if there's Summit Lake, and then there's this hillside, and then like sort of at the top of the hill, there's this development that was put in years ago called Summit Heights. But there's a nature trail that the town put in, and you can walk through the woods and down to a little boat launch.
Is that the Joshua Essig?
Yes, it is. And it's just really beautiful. All of this is accessible right from downtown Philmont. Everyone who lives in Philmont
has
access.
It's an equitable place, it sounds like. It sounds like a place that has the ability to bring people together, similar to our boat launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the last equitable places that you don't have to be questioned. You don't have to have a lot of money.
Right.
You don't have to belong to any kind of quote-unquote club.
That's so true. And so people like fish in the lake. They go kayaking.
Picnic on the shore.
Like, it's just, it's kind
of
like
this take up.
So the town of Philmont owns a very narrow conservation buffer right along the edge of the lake. So that won't be impacted. However, like, obviously the 22 acres beyond that going up to the hill are going to, yeah.
And that's his property now.
That is their property, and there was an attempt that I've spoken to people who made an attempt to purchase the land for conservation. They tried to get the CLC involved, and the price was in the many, many, many hundreds of thousands of, like, it was like upwards of $600,000 or $700,000. And the developer that bought it now got it for like $170,000. Now, I'm like approximating. I'm not like, I'm not looking at tax records, but basically, like, attempts to get it into conservation were foiled, and it was sold cheap to a developer.
That's terrible.
It's a bummer.
How many is that already? 22 acres?
Yeah.
It's 22 acres, and they're talking about 16 houses, which will be...
I heard about this before.
They're going to be like $750,000 houses. They're going to be like 2,000 square foot
like
houses.
That. Jesus. They didn't make it sound like that. They made it sound like it was going to be an equitable solution to the low income or reasonably priced income that was happening in Philmont.
Oh, my God. No, there's
no... That's what they said.
You're not going to be able to afford the acre house with the 2,000 square foot, you know, the acre price. No. You're not going to, I'm not going to afford, I think it's like $750,000 is the price point on these houses. So not at all.
The planning board, in their infinite wisdom, sarcasm, approved this project.
Right. Of course they did.
But your group filed an Article 78, which is the
way
you challenged.
That's right. Because we went to the public hearing, we spoke out, and we were like, we were allowed to speak,
but
nobody really responded.
They never
there was
do.
No, you know, so... The planning board approved it, and we filed our lawsuit, and a judge overturned the approval based on our lawsuit.
What was the basis of your lawsuit?
There were 5 points in the lawsuit. A big problem is that they want to have a narrow one-way loop road that comes in.
Oh, my gosh.
And the grading is going to be super steep, so they're going to come in and do this narrow one-way road. And, well, the fire chief signed off on it, but this was, like, in February, like, long before. It's like the whole thing never – there was never a finished thing for everybody to look at. And then they had the hearing too early.
Yep.
And then there were these, like, restrictive covenants that came in on the morning of the day the planning board approved the project. And so – the village trustees didn't get a chance to review them. Even the planning board didn't get a chance to review them. And the restrictive covenants say, I'm sorry, is this like, I know this is super granular stuff.
No, it's not.
I've never learned this much about anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So these covenants are like, oh, if you buy one of these houses, you're allowed to cut down up to 50% of the mature trees and 100% of the smaller trees on your particular lot. So at the end, what we're looking at, once these houses go in, the infrastructure goes in, people buy them, they want a swimming pool, like a lawn, whatever it is, we're looking at a loss of up to like 80% of the trees on that piece of land.
Wow.
Amazing. And so you won basically because they didn't follow procedure.
They didn't follow procedure.
They never do. They'll send you the letter that says to you, hey, we're having this court meeting on this date. And by the time you get it, it's already happened.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. They wrote the book.
They didn't have a complete thing to show the public.
Right.
What about the aquifers? Are you folks concerned about the aquifers?
There's this whole thing going on in Philmont called the BOA. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is?
No, keep going.
It's called a brownfield opportunity area. Mm-hmm. So for years, there's been community people putting together this special designation in New York State, which opens up. Philmont got nominated and approved as a brownfield opportunity area, and that frees up state money for grants for like redeveloping what you've got and putting it back into the community. Mm-hmm. And this piece of land is part of our BOA.
I was going to say, wouldn't that qualify the land? Wow.
Yeah. And so, and not only that, the Summit Lake itself is the crown jewel of Philmont.
It is.
So protecting the lake. So there's a whole water course management plan that's like, it's very long term, but the idea is to like strengthen all the water systems, the Agawamma Creek, it's like a 22 mile. I'm sorry, I don't know all of this, but
okay.
Like there's like five towns and they're all coming together to improve water management to Summit Lake and then out of Summit Lake. And that could include dredging. It could include a new community center.
That's huge.
Like it's all about like,
the betterment.
The community.
The
it's
betterment.
All about
yeah.
like having things available to people who live there.
Was a brownfield.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
exactly.
There was industrial
yeah.
I mean,
residue there.
Philmont had a very lively, beautiful, lush history. I remember seeing newspaper clippings that were in my house. And I guess there was like a whole, what is it called? Equestrian situation up there.
Really?
Yeah. And like a lot of people from all over came up there to ride horses.
No kidding.
It was like a very, very astute time for Philmont.
Wow.
I'm going to have to find those papers now. Because I was like, this is Philmont?
It does. And you know, there's a lot of beautiful buildings there. The other thing
there is
interesting in Philmont is you get a lot of Hawthorne Valley people there
right,
too.
Sure.
So you've got all the anthroposophic people. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting mix of people. And it's like really.
So what kind of people are on your planning board that are.
Oh.
Well, what?
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't know them personally. I'm sure they're like nice people.
Let's see what they are, who they are.
Robert McFarland is the chief of the planning board.
Uh-huh.
I can't spout other names. Mm-hmm. One member of the planning board did vote against the proposal and spoke up. All the things that the judge ended up doing, this guy was flagging from the get-go,
wow,
but they voted him down and overturned his, like, didn't listen. This is a guy named Tom Paino was speaking very
powerful. Don't they have an attorney who advises them?
Yes. And here's what you can do to help us.
Tell us.
You can donate to our GiveButter, and it's called GiveButter/Summit Lake.
Mm-hmm.
The Lake Needs a Lawyer. You can follow us on Instagram. The Lake Needs a Lawyer on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to the planning board meeting this coming Tuesday.
The 21st.
February 21st at 7 p.m. You can come and educate yourself about what's happening
show,
in Philmont.
Show this planning board that you care about this.
That's right.
I'll tell you, a number of people showing up to the meeting, when you show up in full force, that's powerful.
Yeah.
It's always powerful.
Yep. Yep. So you could, if you just feel
just
like
grumble.
Coming out,
you just stand there and grumble.
You just frown
and frown.
Frown.
Yeah, you don't have to speak. You just stand there and make.
And then
looks.
The public hearing, I believe, is going to be scheduled for March, and that's when the squawking begins.
That's when you want it to be live.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So just like staying on top of this, staying informed, and supporting our effort.
We play these parlor games. We play it, make. When we get to the part where I say that I'm gonna leave, everybody loves a happy ending, but we don't even try. We go straight past pretending to the part where everybody loves to cry. Indoor fireworks can still burn your fingers. Indoor fireworks, we swore were safe as houses. They're not so spectacular. They don't burn up in the sky, but they can dazzle on a light. I'll bring a tear when the smoke gets in your eye. You were the spice of life, the chin in my vermouth. And though the sparks would fly, I thought our love was fireproof. Sometimes we'd fight in public, darling, with very little cause. But different kinds of sparks would fly when we got on our own. It closed doors. Indoor fireworks can still burn your fingers. Indoor fireworks. We saw were safe as houses. They're not so spectacular. They don't burn up in the sky. They can dazzle autumn light or bring a tear when the smoke gets in your eye. It's time to tell the truth. These things have to be faced. My fuse is burning out and all that bad is gone to waste. Don't think for a moment, dear, that we'll ever be through. I'll build a bonfire of my dreams and burn a broken effigy of me and you. Indoor fireworks can still burn your fingers. Indoor fireworks. We swore we're safe as houses. They're not so spectacular. They don't burn up in the sky. They can dazzle heart alight or bring a tear when the smoke gets in your eye. When the smoke gets in your eye. When the smoke gets in your eye.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Roger Hannigan Gilson reports in the Times Union that the Harold Handy beating case is back in court in front of a different judge on February 16th. Judge Richard Cowie recently recused himself from the matter, but the reason why has not been released. State Supreme Court Judge Thomas Marcel now oversees the proceedings. Columbia County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Rosenstrach, her husband, gym owner Alex Rosenstrach, IRS agent Brian Hagg, and contractor Corey Gaylord were initially indicted on gang assault charges for the beating of Handy in Kinderhook in 2020. Handy was beaten so severely he was eventually taken to the intensive care. He was eventually taken to the intensive care unit of Albany Medical Center after attending a 2020 July 4th party at the Rosenstrach's home. State police took over the investigation from the Columbia County Sheriff's Office since their own officers were accused. Cowie dropped the top charges in December 2021 after the defendant's attorneys in the criminal case appealed. Jury selection in the case was set to begin last November, was abruptly adjourned after a private conference between Cowie and Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chiker, who was prosecuting the case. The minutes of that discussion have been sealed, so the reason for the delay is unknown. The trial was suspended for 5 days after Hague's attorney filed a subpoena for information about negotiations between a private attorney employed by the Rosenstrachers and a private attorney for Handy to find out if a payout was discussed that would have hinged on the four defendants not being indicted. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that Congressperson Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th Congressional District, has introduced his first bill, the Health Care Fairness for Military Families Act. Ryan himself, a military veteran, said, and I quote, "It is not an accident that it is focused on supporting veterans and military families. Specifically, it gets at the issues of rising costs and rising health care costs that put so much pressure on families and military families," end quote. Children of military families get to extend the eligibility for health insurance coverage to 26 years of age under the legislation. Ryan was first elected in August to represent the 19th district and began representing the 18th district after winning the fall election in the 18th because of redistricting. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News. Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that former Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, now in Congress, on February 15th, formally endorsed former state Senator Sue Sereno to take his old job. Sereno announced her campaign earlier this year. Molinaro held the post from 2012 until January when he took over the 19th congressional district seat. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Sue will be a familiar face to county residents as someone who grew up here, represented Dutchess in the state Senate, served as a county legislator, and operated a local business. Sue's track record of success as a public servant and business owner and independent approach to solving problems will make her a perfect fit to be Dutchess' next county executive. Sue Sereno cares. She listens. She leads. She has my full support," end quote. Sereno lost last fall to Democrat State Senator Michelle Hinchey in a redrawn Hudson Valley Senate district election between two incumbents. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics Reports. The Chatham School District reports that both budget propositions passed in their February 14th election. Proposition 1, which authorized $18,218,595 for capital improvements at the school, passed 419-181. Proposition 2, for an additional $3,879,600 in spending for a better HVAC system at the middle school, passed 403-193. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Friday, February 17th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Sunoco and Extra Mart in Catskill has gas at $3.45 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is just a 2. That is super low. And the UV index is a 1, which is also low. The temperature of the Hudson River in Albany is just below 37 degrees. On average, on February 17th, over the last 10 years, it's averaged just above 35 degrees. So we're almost 2 full degrees warmer than usual. National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain today before 4 p.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow as temperatures fall throughout the day, rising to 54 by 10 a.m. and then falling to around 30 the remainder of the day. There will be a southwest wind, 17 to 23 miles per hour, becoming northwest, and wind gusts could go as high as 34 miles per hour. Friday night should be partly cloudy, the forecast says, with a low around 16. Should be windy with a northwest wind 21 to 26 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 39 miles per hour, so it'll feel much colder. Saturday, the forecast is for sunny skies with a high of 40 and a west wind 8 to 14 miles per hour, with a low around 28 Saturday night. And then Sunday should be mostly cloudy with a high of 44 and a low around 35. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Recojo la
From the 2022 album I, this is Lucretia Dalt with Contenida.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the better weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to WGXC.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay.
But also, like, just getting in the, like, the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or 20 bucks a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate. Or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear. Having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it, the sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.